7. You got a Scofield, you can find it around page 429. Boy, ain't it good to be saved. I'm glad I got a song leader that is glad Jesus come by one day. I want to show you how bad it can get. Before 2 Kings 7, he said in chapter 6, verse 24, it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts, went up and besieged Samaria. There's a great famine in Samaria. They besieged it till an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces. So, folks, they got hungry. They was eating dove dung. And they was boiling mule heads. And it gets worse. And as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, there cried a woman to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." He said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help you? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press." The king said to her, "What aileth thee? What's wrong with you, girl?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him,' and she hath hid her son." She didn't keep her end of the bargain. A lot of us ain't kept our end of the bargain. Verse 32, Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. The Bible said now, chapter 7, verse 1, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria.' Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be.'" Lord, go and sit down. I'm going to run me a rabbit. I want to say God's in charge of the window this morning. In other words, they said, "How can it be?" Said, "We ain't got nothing." So now you done started preaching and you say, "There's a window going to open." I'm glad preaching opens windows this morning. Some of you sitting around starving to death, but ain't you glad that God's got a word when He sends and can open a window in heaven? Ain't you glad that that window's above us this morning? All He's got to do is just raise it and it just flies out of it. That's just like God. Give us something when we don't keep our end of the bargain. Boy, ain't God good. Now, watch what happens in your Bible. He said in them windows was going to open. He said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." That's the way it is with a lot of people. They'll see it, but they don't want no part of it. And I'm going to tell you, honey, I want all for my family I can get today. I don't want to leave nothing on the table what God has got for me. Somebody say amen right there. Lord goodness, my wife fried some rabbits the other night, and a lot of folks come by and turned their nose up and looked at it, but praise God, you just leave it alone. I'll eat all the rabbits you'll cook for me. That's the way it is down at Liberty Baptist Church. God opens the windows. A lot of you see it, but you don't want no part of it. But honey, let me tell you, I'm glad they still some folks that like to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Can I tell you, the window of God is still open. This Lord God, He said, even though it be a famine in the land, He said, God's going to open a window in heaven, and said, but you ain't got enough faith to get what God's got for you. Lord, I ain't never seen that to right then. And so now, watch this. A lot of you would do real good if you'd get what God sent to you. Quit thinking it's for somebody else. If the phones are ringing, pick it up. It's your number. He ain't got the wrong number, honey. God knows what phone to dial this morning. Oh, I'm glad He's in charge of the windows, ain't you? I'd rather be a preacher than anything I know. I just wish y'all could feel a little part of what I'm feeling this morning. Now watch your Bible. Verse 3. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here till we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine's in the city. And why, we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall in the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Now this morning I want to direct our thoughts and our hearts to this passage of Scripture. When these four leprous men came by, and it was a great famine. And you'll notice this is what they done. They was sitting there and they looked inside a place and said, "My goodness, why should we go in there?" Said, "They are dying too. Why should we go in there?" Said, "It ain't nothing in there. We're going to die here and die in there." I won't preach on this thought that I've preached 100 times. This will make 101. When the inside looks like the outside. Boy, there's a lot of churches this morning looks the same on the inside as it does on the outside. But oh my goodness, I want you to notice three things now. We'll be through today. First of all, Elisha comes on the scene and we see the Lord's mandate. He said in chapter 7, verse 1, "Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord." I wished America would get back to listening to the Word of the Lord. Hey, are you in trouble this morning? This right here will fix whatever's ailing you. This right here will help you in any situation you'll ever find in life. This book will run your business. It'll run your home. It'll run your life. It'll run your church. Honey, it's a full deal. The real deal's right here in a King James Bible. It is inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. And it'll do today. If it saved Grandpa and Grandma, honey, it'll save you. It'll save you young uns. I'm glad that the Lord God's Word is still available in the day and hour that we live. I'm glad preaching is available. Amen. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." I wish some of y'all could sit under an Elisha preacher a while. Somebody that done seen his old counterpart be caught up in a whirlwind. You know, Brother Dave, people look around at me and you when we get excited. You can go down to the ball game and the beer joint and shout and holler about, "Oh, break your heart," and you think your tractor is sexy. Honey, let me tell you this morning. There's a book that's real today. There's a power lives in my heart that's amazing, and it's available, and it's adequate, and it's accurate. Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I wish y'all could sit under an Elisha-style preacher. Come in with an old mantle wrapped around him and a stick, amen. Didn't have a tie around him. I don't know who in the world come up with a tie, but he ought to be jap-slapped for the glory of God. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, I wish you'd come up under an old man of God that had, oh, the Word of God in his heart and the heaven of God on his breath. Oh, we need to get back to old-time preaching like the Elishas of the Bible. Now we've got in the entertainment business. We need to stay in the preaching business. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I believe it's adequate today. Thank God for the preachers of yesterday. Boy, old Elisha, he come up around Elijah. You remember Elijah done a lot of great things. And here, ain't you glad when God sends an old man off the scene, He raises up another to take the place. And some of you this morning, we may not realize, but God may have some little Elishas running around in here, dropping their little money in a bucket. Thank God that He's still calling men to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was first, and then came Elisha. Now, the Bible said that Elijah came along, and Elisha was plowing 12 yokes of oxen. Said he was behind the 12th yoke. I'm going to tell you how come Elisha becoming Elisha. He didn't have no problem being in last place. Amen. Some of us want to be on the head donkey, but thank God for them that will follow behind the last donkey. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, Elisha was a plowing behind the 12th oxen. He knowed his place. And God told him to go find Elisha. He found him in his place and in his spot. Can I tell you, when our heavenly Elijah comes, I hope he finds me in my place, doing my part. Honey, let me tell you something. Oh, the Lord Jesus is coming back one morning. So he came and he found Elisha plowing behind the 12 yoke of oxen. So they go on about their journey, and he sees Elisha do great and amazing things. Boy, I'm glad that I stood up under some old men of God, that I've seen them do some amazing things. Somebody say amen right there. And so then Elisha said, hey, Elijah, said, now listen, said, that spirit on you, said, I'm really interested in that spirit you got on you. So Elijah loved him so much, Brother Adam, he come by, and he said, now listen, boy, I'm fixing to cross the River Jordan. God's about done with me, Elisha. Now, what can I do for you before I leave? And I don't know if this boy was Baptist or not. He said, I tell you what I want. I don't want a new buggy. I don't want a new suit. He said, I want a double portion of what you got on you. I wish we could get back to wanting a double portion of what Elijah had. And I love what Elijah said. He said, okay, if you really want a double portion, he said, then you're going to have to see me taken out. And if you're with me when the Lord comes, he said, when that mantle falls, he said, you can get under that mantle. Oh, God, I love it when that mantle falls. And it begins to get on people, and they get them a double portion. If it's ever been a time and a day and an hour, honey, when we need the coat of Elijah, come back in our churches to give us a double portion of the Spirit of God. He said, now listen to me, Elisha. He said, if you want what I got, you got to see me when God calls me out. Now Elijah said to Elisha, he said, now you stay here, boy. He said, I got to go to Bethel. He said, I ain't sitting here, I'm a-going with you. Oh, ain't no way. So he went down to Bethel. Then the Bible said, now, he said, Elisha, now listen, I got to go down to Jericho. He said, you stay here. He said, stay here, nothing. I'm a-going with you. I'm going to get what God's promised for me. Somebody, say amen right there. And so the Bible said they went down to Bethel. And then they went down to Jericho. And then the Bible said, now Elisha, you stay here. I got to go back down to Jordan. He said, I ain't done it. I'm a-going with you, Pappy. I'm going every step, every mile of the way with you. Thank God for some people that's went with a man of God every step of the way. Would somebody say amen right there? And so the Bible said that he was caught up in a whirlwind and he dropped that mantle and Elisha got it. And now he's gone to preaching. And I got to wondering, Brother Gerald, how come Elijah, that old daddy preacher, took him to Bethel, then took him to Jericho, and then brought him back down by Jordan? And this is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, well, he took him down to Bethel and taught him how to worship. I'm glad somebody's taught me how to worship. Hey, Bethel was the house of bread. We ought to come to the house of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody say amen this morning. So He took him down to Bethel to teach him how to worship. By the way, it'd do some of you good to get your hand up a little bit. Amen. Hey, the Pope ain't here this morning. Just an old country Baptist preacher saved by the grace of God, called out of the woods. God put the Spirit of God in, and it ain't nothing like being saved this morning. So He taught him how to worship. I wish I could teach some of y'all how to worship. Amen. It'd do you good if you could learn to worship. Every time in the Bible, when God's people of crises came, they worshiped. Can I tell you, crises to help you worship. Valleys to help you worship. The reason some of you can't worship, honey, hey, it ain't been bad enough. But I've just got an inkling. There's something coming around the corner, and you better be getting used to raising up your hands and bowing your knees and bowing your head, because the Lord's worthy of our praise this morning. Now, He took him down to Bethel to teach him how to worship. Thank God for some men I've set under to teach me how to worship. I mean, if you'll just get your hand right here, can we just try a little bit of practice this morning? Would anybody just raise it up about ear high this morning? And now let's get it on up a little bit. Now just wave it a little bit. It'll help you this morning. See, that's non-Baptist system. That's sort of Baptist costal, amen. Some of you looking around, I ain't even got point two yet. I don't think you're going to be able to take the preaching this morning. But He took him down to Bethel. Taught him how to worship. Thank God the Baptists ain't sent me a program tell me how to do it. Nashville ain't wrote me a program tell me what to do. Well, there's a woman in Carrollton the other day. Oh, I wish that hadn't come up. But it did. She wrote me a little message and said, now, here's you something to preach Sunday. I said, God, give me something to preach Sunday. Somebody say amen of her. I'm glad we ain't programmed. Thank God we ain't dignified. If I see you go to getting dignified, I'm going to knock the props out from under you standing on. Amen. It do you good, undo your tie, and get into worship this morning and enjoy the good things of the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, He loves us and died for us. Oh, we ought to praise Him every chance we get. Now, old Elijah took Elisha down to Bethel, taught him to worship. And then Jericho, a picture of the world. What are you talking about? Oh, He took him down to a bad place and taught him how to walk. You know, I'm glad I followed some preachers around some bad places that still know how to walk. Can I tell you, you ain't going to lead nobody to God sitting in a corn crib with blinders on. Somebody say amen right there. I can be a Christian in a deer stand. I can be a Christian in a bass boat. I can be a Christian on a golf course. I can be a Christian pastoring if you'll let me. But He took him down to Jericho, a picture of the world, taught him how to walk through the world with Him. Boy, let me tell you, you know what's wrong with Baptists? They think they're too good for anybody this morning. Oh, Lord, these people, they need to see us walking around in a world where we real. I mean, where our light is a shining. Walk in and tell the old boy ain't got no hope. Say, hey, boy, I know where there's some hope at this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, God didn't save you to put you in a hayloft or a corn crib under a tow sack. He saved you to be a light, to shine the glorious gospel of the blessed God, to save old sinners. And He taught him how to walk around in this world. And then I love what He done back over there when He come to Jordan. Jordan is the muddy river. Remember old Naaman, he dealt with leprosy. He said, boy, you got to go to Jordan, dip yourself seven times, and you'll become as a little child. Boy, Naaman went down there, and guess what? Just what the man of God said, the seventh time he come up and he said, oh Lord, now I know. I'm glad I know some things this morning. But He took him back down there, friend, to Jordan. Why did He take him to Jordan? Oh God. He said, well boy, He said, I'm going to take you and teach you how to worship. I'm going to take you and teach you how to walk. But just in case Jericho gets on you, I'm going to take you down there and teach you how to wash. I'm glad this morning that God still saves these old sinners. He said, if we confess our sins and forsake them, then He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my goodness, what a preacher like Elisha. So we see this wonderful mandate. He called a man and said, hear the word of the Lord. I wished our country would get back to hearing the word of the Lord. Now, number two, not only do you find out that when Elisha came on the scene, that he said, there's the Lord's mandate, but notice if you would now the leprous men in verse number 3. The Bible said there were 4 leprous men at the inner end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Now, if I had to go to church like that, I wouldn't go neither. Somebody said amen right there. In other words, they said, if I got to go there, I ain't a going. You know why when I reached 16 years old, got my driver's license? Why I went to church, going to church with mom and daddy? Because their church was dead. I rode around and I looked at the sights. And then don't tell you youngins this, stop the ears up. When church is over, I come home loud like a dog. They said, where you been? I said, I went to town to church. But I was meaner than a junkyard dog. I didn't want nothing about God, nothing about church. You know why? Because the church I was raised in is a dead. The most exciting thing we ever seen happened there. And Brother Mike, when a song leader fell asleep one morning, fell in the floor, he realized he had done it, and he pushed up and said, amen. I thought the whole church was going to shout when he done that. I'm going to tell you, one of the charismatics getting our babies because church is so boring. Honey, let me tell you, you can go to the house of God, and the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, we ought to be a happy people, a joyful people. We ought to be blessing and appraising Him. Can I tell you, 50 years ago in the Baptist church, what this old-timer man of God stood up and said this morning was going on in every church house across America. We got so blessed, we don't need God no more. Oh, Lord, we ought to praise You every chance we get. Oh, my goodness, these leprous men. The Bible said it was 4 of them. And they came down and they looked in and said, why in the world should we go in there? But lastly this morning, not only do we see the Lord's mandate and these leprous men, but now we see the lasting message. This is what I want to say to you, and then we go home. First of all, these men were hungry. But they couldn't find no lentils. Can you imagine how hungry people are for the Word of God? All they know is about Dr. Phil. All they know about is Oprah Winfrey. You know, she's going off the air. I don't know what half the world's going to do when she checks out. She ought to have went off the air years ago. Started her own little religion. And you got her in your living room pumping that garbage in your house. Now, that ain't cost you no more. You might well get your money's worth while you come. Because some of you ain't coming back no how. You thought you done walked in the romper room this morning. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The lasting message, they was hungry. Couldn't find nothing to eat. I wonder if people come looking to church here. They're hungry. They need something beside what the world's giving. Right. Sir, you done found out what the world give you, family. Won't you try what God will give you, family? Amen. I done climbed the corporate ladder so high, there wasn't nobody up there. Ain't nothing up there. It's a lot down there. You got friends down here. That's hungry. They couldn't find no lentils. Boy, it's my heart to have a church this morning. People hungry come in, they hear from the Lord. You know, they don't need to hear about politics. Some preachers, all they want to preach on is politics. Boy, I'm glad Jesus saves. You hear me, young lady? Jesus saves. You hear me, sir? Jesus saves. And there's nothing like being a Christian. My goodness, these leprous men, they looked in and said, why should we go in there lest we die? They were hungry, but they couldn't find no lentils. Secondly, I believe with all my heart that they needed healing, but they could find no love. They were leprous men. Nobody liked them. You give me that crowd. Give me that crowd that ain't had nothing. You give me that crowd that nobody wants, and Jesus picks them up and saves them. And that's the kind of crowd you can build a church with, friend. That's the kind of crowd, Brother Michael, Brother Chuck, that'll be with you when everybody else walks off to say, Brother Mark, that's the kind of crowd, son, to stay with you. Them that ain't never had nothing, and Jesus done something for them. Oh, God, they needed healing. You know, do you need your heart healed? Oh, you know, the old devil will break your heart, won't he? You need your marriage healed. Ain't nobody perfect. Did you know Jesus said, forgive one another for Christ's sake as He's forgiven you? Well, we got to forgive and we got to forget. If not, them things bind you down. But I'm going to tell you, there's healing here if you want it this morning. They were hungry. They couldn't find no lentils. They needed healing. They couldn't find no love. Somebody said, well, love and tears for sissies. That's okay. I'll take all of it you don't want. The Spirit of God gets on me, I cry and I can't help it. And somebody told me, said, boy, them tears are going to leave you. They ain't you. It's okay to cry. Some of you young'uns, you ought to let them see you cry some. See you human. Lord, they needed healing, but they couldn't find no love. There's people out here that's broken. Broken homes, outcast. Thank God we're in a church that'll love them this morning. And you know something? If you come to this church and you don't like people shaking your hand, you're at the wrong place. If you don't like people just being who they are and loving you, then let me tell you something. You really washed up this morning. Lord, they needed healing. And you know, I believe these leprous men, not only do you find out they were hungry, they needed lentils. And they were lepers, they needed healing, but they couldn't find any love. I believe they were hopeless, they needed hope, but they couldn't find no life. I'm glad Jesus lives. You know what's amazing to me, y'all? This Bible's alive. It's the living Word this morning, friend. This thing talks to me. It's amazing. I was thinking this morning. You can ask my wife. I studied the biggest part of all day yesterday. Some evenings through the week just to preach this morning. And I get here and God said, you ain't preaching none of that. You're going to preach this. It's a speaking Bible. What's it told you this week? But you ain't going to know till you get in it and see. If you get off the computer and get in your Bible, you might could get something for your life. Quit dropping your head. We ain't praying, we're preaching. Quit your gossiping and go to spending so much time in the altar as you are gossiping. You'd get some help for your life. Boy, they needed healing. You know, they needed some heaven, but they couldn't find the Lord. You know what? You know what I believe this morning? Miss Sherry, I want you to come, if you would, sister. Miss Sherry, you've been so good to this preacher. The more places I go preach, the more I appreciate you. You listen to me this morning. Some of you here today and you've never been saved. You ought to get saved. God's been knocking at your heart for a while. You ought to open up that heart and let Him in this morning. Daddies, I never seen that till I was preaching this morning. Probably never get to preach it again. But the man of God come a preaching. He said, there's going to be a window open. He said, you're going to be able to see it. But he said, you won't partake of it. I wonder what God could do for your family. I mean, if you really got dedicated to the house of God, I just wonder what God could do for you.